Greetings. Welcome to Film Gazers, a podcast focusing on the science fiction, horror, fantasy trinity, and 20th century entertainment. I'm Steph.
I'm Jess. We're cousins slash besties. Join us as we reminisce, discuss, and preview films from our childhood.
Meowdy.
Meowdy.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year's.
2026.
Mm-hmm.
So not off to a good start on a societal level, I feel like. But for me personally, it's been fine.
Yes. I'm trying to cocoon myself and shield myself from the outside world a little bit.
All of the atrocities that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely can relate to that. I have been consuming a ton of media since after Christmas and into the new year and early January now. Yeah. So with that, what you've been watching, what you've been doing?
I'm still going through Cold Case Files.
Nice.
That is my nighttime show. me and my mom watched this terrible, terrible movie last night called What Happens Later. It was starring Meg Ryan and David Duchovny.
Oh, I've seen the like trailer or like poster thing of that on something.
Yeah, it was probably one of the most boring movies I've ever seen. The whole thing just takes place with them two in an abandoned. It's like an airport that's closed, and for some reason it's only them two, and the announcer is talking like directly to them sometimes, but it's not a dream. Like, this is really happening. I guess
that's,
it's like,
weird.
I didn't know airports closed at night and like the workers went home too. Is that a thing?
I believe some, yeah, if they don't have like, if they don't do night flights like that.
Well, it's because like it's a snowstorm or whatever. So that's why. Mm. So they're like at the airport. I was like, I don't go to the airport that much. I don't know about that. But it was so boring. It was because they're exes. I guess they used to be married like in their youth and now they're in their 50s. So they're like arguing and I was like, if I just want to watch two people bitch at each other, I could just stay home.
Yeah. And then also, why, if they've been divorced for years, why are they at the same airport at the same time?
It's just a totally random coincidence.
Serendipitous.
It's serendipitous. And yeah, it was just so boring. And then at the end, it was like the credits, it was directed by Meg Ryan. And I was like, Meg, first off, I'm disappointed.
Oh, no. I know. I was like, she was your favorite. She was your favorite.
She was my favorite. And the whole time I'm watching it, I'm just like, ugh. I was like, it doesn't look like my Meg Ryan.
Oh.
I was like, what'd you do to your face, Meg?
Probably a lot of filler.
Yeah. And I guess it didn't settle right. It just, ugh. Uh-huh. And then she was supposed to have a little bit of like an arthritis limp in the movie. I don't know if that's like a fact thing for her as well as a person or just the movie. Mm-hmm. But the way they had her walking and she had these big clunky boots, I was like, why is she walking like Frankenstein?
She's like, I gotta wear my orthopedics.
I guess. It looked terrible. Yeah, it was just not good at all.
This is not it.
It was not the vibe. And she did everything for the movie. She directed it. She produced it. Like,
oh no.
It sucked. I was like, well, it's fine because it was background noise for me and my mom to like chit chat through.
There you go.
And then besides,
like, what happens later? I don't care.
I don't remember. And then besides that, I finished another audiobook called Hot Wax by M.L. Rio. And it was Hot Wax as in like vinyl records.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I didn't know that was ever a thing they were called.
No, I did not know either.
It had a lot of like specific terms in this book about, it's about a little girl that her dad is like a rock and roll star.
Okay.
Trying to become famous. He does like, he's like small time famous, but not like big time famous. And then she goes on the road with them unbeknownst to her mother because her parents are separated. So she spends a whole summer going on the road with her dad and she's like 11 and 12, maybe like 11.
Oh,
and
crazy.
12.
And going on the tour.
Went on the tour and like all the crazy shit that happens. And it goes flashes back between that and her now. Cause she's like on the, like her dad just died. So she's like coming to terms with everything, you know,
and
her
reflecting
life,
back.
Reflecting back. So it goes back and forth between the two. So I enjoyed it. I liked it.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it was super. It was different, you know.
like a little slice of life kind of drama.
Right. Exactly. It was like more like a father-daughter kind of drama because it focused a lot on that, or just like family dynamics and a little trauma.
What's a good book without a little trauma?
Exactly. Or else it's just a children's book. It's fairy tale. And now I'm listening to a new one called Little Shop of Found Things by Paula Braxton, and I fucking love it so far. It's so cozy.
Is it about a little shop of things she's found?
It's like an it's a mother and daughter antiquers,
Oh, cute.
and the daughter has a gift where things sing to her. Because things that like antiques or whatever that people have loved and passed down and like has all this history, like she can hear it singing and then she picks it up and then she can hear its like story of like where it's been and who's owned it and this and that. And then so then she can know how much it's worth. And then so that's how they make their living. And then they come into it's almost like Chocolat a little bit because they come into this new village. It's based in England. So they come into this new village that's like quaint and have all these like market days, and there's this little old antique store that they bought, and it's like one of the things is like super singing to her, and there's this like garden that has this like secret cellar that nobody knew was there, and she go it's and then it's almost kind of like Outlander because she steps into it and then she goes back in time and there's a ghost. Yeah, all kinds of like things involved in it, but it's also like, oh, it's they're British, so oh, they're popping across the little tea shop across
It's
the
almost
way, and
like cozy fantasy, I guess.
yes, it's I'm like, this
Or
is
like
the perfect genre for me. And then the
cute.
narrator does, she's British, so she has you have that accent going on, and then there's like a Scottish barkeep, so you got that accent going on.
I have determined that I think I've already mentioned this, but I mean, the only audiobooks I want to listen to are narrated by British
Oh, it's
people.
so
Like,
enjoyable.
it's just a superior accent to listen to
I
in a
agree.
book. I don't know. And it makes it feel more literary.
Then I realize now I never like people reading to me because they never read the way I read in my head. And then when they act out the voices and stuff, that's how I read in my head. So when it's like monotone and all read the same way, I don't enjoy that. But when they act out the voices and you can differentiate, like,
Absolutely. And they don't have to even go super hard.
no.
Like, as long as they are making an effort to like differentiate between certain characters and
Right.
yeah, and they have more inflection. Like, there are some that I turned on and I was like, because I
Yeah.
had finished The Secret Garden, YouTube audio, I found that, and it was just enchanting. It was wonderful. But I was like,
On
I want to
YouTube.
find, yeah, it was on YouTube. So I've
Okay.
been doing, yeah, I've been finding other ones on YouTube because it's just certain creators and everything. And they started contributing their own audiobooks essentially, I guess. I don't know how they get permission to do it, because it's not ones that are made by the publishing houses or whatever. I'm not sure how it works, but I've been listening to some of them. Because I also, yeah, I started listening to The Haunting of Hill House. And I found one that has it's a British narrator. And it's interesting so far because it was what, that lame movie with Catherine Zeta-Jones and what was it? Luke Wilson, The Haunting that came out in the late 90s. Like, it's what that was based on, as well as the Netflix
Oh,
show. You can
okay.
tell though, it was one of those like short and sweet. It's like one of the forefathers of kind of like, I think, horror, haunting, classic literature kind of.
Because when did it come out?
Shirley Jackson wrote it, and I'm pretty sure. Let me double check real quick. 1959. So yeah, 1959. It's kind of short and sweet. I'm already like almost done with it. I could see how some people would definitely think it's boring though. just because of the style it's written. It's like a slow burn, but I like that in kind of a haunted house story. But you can tell they took a lot of liberties in the both the film and the show. But you have to. It's one that's almost so simple in terms of what's actually happening. If you were going to make a film or a show about it, you're going to have to definitely flesh out more. The Haunting, I would say, was actually more accurate to the book in terms of like it's people coming to this haunted house under, you know, like a guise of experimentation. In the book, though, they know they're going to a house that's haunted and they know that they kind of have like psychic abilities or something. So it wasn't like some trick like I think they do in that movie. And then The Haunting of Hill House, the show, they do it quite differently with their narrative and everything. And it's kind of just the Hill House itself, I think, is like the real inspiration, maybe. But yeah, so far, so good. Because I'm trying to do like a reading challenge this year. Because my goal last year was to try to read just like one book a month. And I only got to six.
Dude,
Because it was hard.
I think I read two books last year.
Oh, yeah, no, I got to six at least. So I did read some, but this year I'm like, no, I'm doing 12. And then I had signed up for this like January pages challenge to where it's just you're listening or reading like a minute or like so many pages worth of a book every day.
I'm glad they consider audiobooks as reading.
Yeah, on Storygraph, it does. So I've been using that app and logging everything on there. Because I also got gifted around my birthday a book called Tender is the Flesh. Have you heard of this
It
one?
sounds familiar.
Yeah, I guess it was like really popular on TikTok or one of those TikTok books or whatever. It's an Argentinian author, and I saved it for I had to do a work trip and go to Orlando this week. I'm exhausted, but I brought this book with me because it's only like 200 and something pages. It's pretty short. And I was like, I can definitely finish this on the flight there and back, basically, which I did.
Nice.
And it was good. And it is fucked up. Like, I
Oh.
will give it to you to borrow if you
Okay.
would like.
Yes, sure.
So far, I've had no other takers on wanting to borrow it once I tell them a little bit of what it's about.
Oh, tell me a little bit.
But so basically, it's the main character is a man named Marcos. And you find out, you know, along the way of the story that he comes from a family who was involved in like slaughterhouses and meat processing.
Okay.
And basically, then the government start telling them like there seems to be a virus that is spreading amongst animals, is what is being told to everybody, and that people are dying and they're having to try to kill a lot of the animals, and no one can eat animals anymore. It's going to make you sick and you will die. And so then they say there's like been mass amounts of like kind of starvation and malnutrition now that no one can eat any meat. And so society is supposed to be working, you know, to try to figure out how to move on without animals, essentially, because they also like have mass killed them. So now
Damn.
there's like hardly any. And then like people are afraid of birds because, you know, they think, oh God, the bird's gonna come down and peck you or poop on you, and then you're gonna die and get the virus. So
Die, then get
Or yeah, or get the virus and then
the
die. You're gonna die.
virus.
You're gonna get the virus. So that's kind of the setup. So dystopian. It's a dystopian novel.
Which is my favorite.
So it seems though the natural solution is they just start eating people.
Of course. What else are you
Any,
going
yeah, any. I mean, although I'm thinking, I'm like, with our technology, we know we can grow like lab grown meat and protein now.
to?
But yeah, like, but so this is where
Silly.
the yeah. So the book, like I said, this is one of those you can't overthink it. It is supposed to be just a, oh, what if, you
Right,
know, and
right,
let's
right.
expand on this what if. Because yeah, if you think too hard about it, it has inconsistencies and it wouldn't make much sense if you really, you know. But if you kind of still look at it and just the way it's being presented, you're like, oh, I could see this totally happening. Like, because there's the whole industries, they've basically created a way for humans to have a form of cattle, but they don't do it in a way that's like just slavery. Like they start just breeding and genetically modifying humans to eat. And Marcos is like the second in charge of one of the human processing plants. And it's kind of like, yeah, you're like witnessing kind of like days in the life of a human meat processor, like at first. And, you know, he's not like, it's like, at first you feel for the character. You're like, is he against this or is he not? Like, you know, you discover that he does have a wife, that they're like separated because they had a baby that died of like SIDS or something. So he has like a strained relationship, and then he ends up being gifted what they call the human cattle. They call them heads, I think, or something. So he's gifted a like genetically pure head, which is a human that was like naturally born and stuff that wasn't genetically modified. And so they like, I think, naturally aged and stuff, because they even talk about how they can like, I think they can rapidly age some of these like humans.
Okay.
And
they're supposed to be the most
bit.
Tender.
Yes, exactly.
Rapidly.
Yes.
Aged.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah, it literally is the, like,
it's like a piece of veal.
Yes, it's crazy. So it can get so detailed, but then, like I said, other things you're like, well, why wouldn't they have just lab grown meat? Like,
yeah,
like when
they can do all this,
but they can, yeah, exactly.
They can just lab grow cows, right?
But that's where they kind of postulate where it was like, oh, where the government's, that he basically thinks that the government was lying the whole time, mm-hmm. and that it was just a way to curb overpopulation and to keep people in check more.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Yeah.
So, again, it's a short and sweet read, but it was really good. Like, the graphic detail of some of the, it's like, and I only recommend it if you are a person who can withstand reading about gore and a lot of fucked up shit, like content warning after content warning for this, like for everything. I literally was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Is it like me? So yeah, that was what I've been reading. And then ton of movies. We watched Batman Forever. It was garbage. Yes. I hated it.
Mm-hmm. Which one is that one though? With
Jim Carrey.
And Tommy Lee Jones. Who was Batman?
Val Kilmer.
Oh, Val Kilmer. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like Jim Carrey was the only one who kind of understood the assignment,
yeah,
because it was such a campy version.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Lee Jones was a little weird in it. I just, yeah, I forgot how bad it was. And then we watched also RoboCop 1 and 3.
Why not 2?
We haven't gotten that far yet. We started with 3.
Oh,
as
okay,
kind of
okay.
Like a funny background thing. And then we were like, oh my God, that was so funny. And then Andrew went back and watched 1 and then was like, oh my God, 1 is so good. Like compared to 3. So that one was still enjoyable to watch. We also watched Weapons, finally, the one about all that children that go missing. It was good. I liked it. It was just unexpected. Like I didn't really know what exactly to expect, I guess. But then when I watched it, it wasn't what I thought I was expecting. So I enjoyed the ride. It was interesting. I don't know if that, I don't want to spoil anything because it is one of those where
I already know what happened. So,
oh, you do. Oh, yeah. Okay. 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 Yeah. So it's still newer, so I won't say it on here, but maybe I'll chat about it in the Discord. We watched also some just ridiculous comedies like Deuce Bigalow, Male Gigolo.
I was thinking about that one the other day. I always think of that. That's a huge bitch.
Watching it as an adult, and I haven't watched it in years. And all I could think of is, why was I obsessed with this at age 12? Like, it makes no sense.
Everybody was.
I have no idea why after watching it. I'm like, it had like some stupid funny parts, but most of it
is
was
that the one
just
that has cakes and pies, cakes and pies.
Cakes and pies. Because yeah. He ends up actually like helping all of them.
Right,
like,
not
like,
having sex
still
with
a
them.
Douchebag. We also watched Tropic Thunder.
Yes.
I hadn't seen that one in
that
a while.
That one still is so
it
funny.
Is still so ridiculous as well. But that one I held up more than Deuce Bigalow.
Yeah.
We did Ghostbusters.
The first
something,
one.
Yeah, just a little old school. And then it was funny to me that you watched a Meg Ryan movie because we also watched You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
Don't like it.
Tom Hanks in that one. I'm like, what a dirtbag.
He's a dirt bag. I don't like him. I don't like the plot. Like everything about it just pisses me off.
Yeah.
Like I officially can be like, I hate that movie.
Yeah. I don't like it either.
Yeah.
The only thing I liked was her bookstore.
Exactly. And then they close it down.
I know. Bullshit. It's all bullshit.
I'm like, nobody cares. These are all awful people.
Yeah, Greg Kinnear was a douche in it too. Like, I didn't like him in it.
Yeah, everyone was kind of just insufferable. And then she just seems like an idiot.
Yeah,
So I'm like,
exactly. Like, you deserve for your beautiful bookstore to close, Joe Fox. I don't know how I remember that.
yeah, that came from the depths.
That did. I was thinking about Meg Ryan in her bookstore, and then I remember her saying, like, Joe Fox.
We also watched Catch Me If You Can with Tom Hanks
I remember
and
liking that one.
Leo. It was still very cute after watching what we're covering today. And then when we talked about our Spielberg lists, and I'm like, oh, Catch Me If You Can might be a little higher than I thought it would be after this re after the rewatch. It was just one of those fun, kind of Leo movies, I guess, really. That's the
Caper
way to
movies.
describe it. Caper, yeah, there you go. And yeah, so like I said, I've been cramming a lot in. I think that's more than enough to share
Yeah.
about.
30 minutes worth? No.
Yeah. So everyone, we are in the new year and it's time for Are You There, Aliens? It's us, Film
Film
Gazers.
gazers.
Today we're going to be covering War of the Worlds. And then our next episode will be M. Night Shyamalan's Signs, which is one of my personal favorites.
I'm looking forward to watching that one again too.
Yes, I can't wait. And in February, we are going to announce our theme and we will give you the specifics during the Signs episode. But it's going to be la 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 tragic romance.
That was unexpected.
This came to me.
Oh, that was good. That made me cry. I think it was a wow.
So in this episode, we watched 2005's War of the Worlds. It was directed by Steven Spielberg. The screenplay was by Josh Friedman and David Cope. It was based on War of the Worlds, an 1898 novel by H.G. Wells. It was produced by Kathleen Kennedy and Colin Wilson. It was starring Tom Cruise, Dakota Fanning, Miranda Otto, and Tim Robbins. The cinematography was Janusz Kamiński. It was edited by Michael Kahn, and the music was by John Williams himself. It was released on June 29th, 2005. So this was basically a summer blockbuster when I finished high school.
Yes.
The running time is 117 minutes. The budget was 132 mil. And the box office was 603.9 million.
Damn.
So it did pretty well. So I didn't like super dive into the notes this time. As I mentioned, I was on a work trip. It is like 48 hours of just like having to do like basically four separate plane rides, going to a giant convention center. And it was like almost 80 degrees in Orlando. It was
Ew.
disgusting. I'm like, this is fucking January. Like, I mean, even around here, around home, it's been in the 70s, and I
And
have just
foggy
been
and humid.
miserable with it. Yeah.
It's supposed to cool off tomorrow.
I know. And I was tired. So I literally only looked up some fun facts that I found interesting.
It's fine.
And yeah,
It was a huge
it's,
movie. People know though.
exactly. That's what I'm saying. And there was tons of YouTube videos and things like that. So I'm only sharing what I thought was cool. So Stan Winston's studio did help contribute to a lot of the alien concept designs.
Nice.
They did build parts of the Martian tripod fighting machine, and they did create practical versions of the reddish blood-filled weeds that are growing on the sites of the alien attacks. It was understood, though, that the aliens were going to be computer animated, regardless, but Stan Winston Studio still did a lot. So here was something interesting. When the film was originally scripted, there was supposed to be like pods that were integral to being connected to all that red moss stuff. And because basically that red moss is supposed to be like feeding little alien baby pods. So that was kind of what the original idea was. And there was a scene in which Ray and his daughter are hiding in the basement with Tim Robbins. And then he's supposed to have killed one of the baby aliens in one of those pods. And they end up like running outside. And then you basically, when they show them like running outside, even that was kept in the film and all the red weeds and all that stuff. In that scene, there was going to be pods everywhere along with it. And then Ray would start smashing all of them. And that is when the tripod would come and grab him. But none of that happened. That did not stay in the final script. So days before shooting the sequence, Spielberg made the decision to cut all references of the alien pods. So someone from the studio is quoted saying that they kind of thought it was a shame because they thought the pods and the baby aliens growing in them helped to explain the life cycle of the aliens. Because they were like, it just made it more clear what the red weed was actually about. And that was nourishment for the pods.
I just assumed it was like their landscape.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. But it's kind of open-ended the way they, went with
I
it.
wonder why he decided to cut it out.
Apparently, it was because just production was on a super tight schedule.
Oh.
And so the best way to cut some of that shooting time was just to leave out this idea of the pods themselves. So it kind of sucked though, because they had spent 3 months building all of the pods and the baby aliens.
Ugh.
And they had to spend 1 weekend to remove all of them from all of the synthetic weed fibers that they had throughout
Wow.
the set. This also kind of kicked off a string of military supported like alien movies during this time. The US Army, Air Force, and Marine Corps did help provide hardware that was in support of the battle sequences. But doing so, they get to look over the scripts and have to, like, they have input, basically. So one had the Army reporting that they reviewed it for military depiction, and they did provide joint suggestions for improving the military depictions beyond the comic book level. So they felt so in the original, I guess, kind of scripts that they read, they thought it was like comic book like. So there was a draft that did, it was confirmed that it was almost cartoonish in portrait, because there's one where the son is jumping on board the tank in the middle of an army column, and they're like, none of the troops try to stop him. They were like, that wouldn't happen. Like, they would not let that happen at all. And some of the soldiers had been shown as being fearful. And even at one point, like they'll have they were going to show like Marines like being forced to retreat, and like they were like, that would never, Marines would never retreat like that. Like, and so they would have, the military had very specific reasons like explaining why they wouldn't do that and this and that and everything, just to make it more accurate. So that was kind of interesting. A lot of them, I think, were kind of insulted.
Like, we don't show fear and we don't run away.
Exactly. And
Unless they were like drafted or something, you know?
yeah, and this isn't at that point yet. Everything's just happening. So these
Right.
are already, just actual military members. So yeah, so they use a lot of liaison officers, and they had a lot of input on the battle sequences that were recorded. They did think it was very important towards the end when it shows the military helping the civilians getting through the city when all of the tripods are starting to go down and everything. Like, that was the military's input as well, saying, at this point, you have these weird tripod, like a big portion of their mission would be to evacuate civilians as well. So they they wanted to make sure that was known.
Until it's coming towards a boat, and then they're like, get the
I
fuck off. Fuck you, civilians.
know. So Spielberg himself has admitted that the ending just doesn't make sense. It was in James Cameron's story of science fiction. Spielberg is quoted as saying he never could figure out how to end that darn thing, and that the film doesn't have a good ending. So
I agree.
yeah, because in the grand scheme, it's nearly 2 hours, but less than 3 minutes are spent explaining the sudden defeat of the aliens. It's just left to the narration. But that is actually still pretty close to the source material because in the novel, it ends quite similarly. The original ending is the Martians die off upon contact with putrefactive bacteria. And there's been tons of variations of War of the Worlds, and most of them all have kind of picked their own random kind of ending, and it's all pretty abrupt. So that's it. That's all my fun facts. That was what I was working with. I got it from samwinstonschool.com, spyculture.com, Screen Rants, little IMDb. So with that, Jess is going to take it away with the you Googled summary.
War of the Worlds follows divorced dock worker Rick as he tries to protect his estranged children, Robbie and Rachel, during a sudden alien invasion of Earth by giant heat ray wielding tripods that emerge from underground, forcing them on a terrifying flight to survive the apocalypse, highlighting themes of family, survival, and 9/11 era anxieties.
That was one fact I forgot to write down, but I did read was talking about how Spielberg very much wanted this to be like a found footage looking video, basically, that was similar to like the 9/11 footage.
Okay, I didn't pick up on that.
So, what were your memories of this film?
I thought I watched it recently, but I guess it's been longer ago than I thought because I have forgot about several parts. I mostly remember him and Dakota Fanning just like running, hiding.
Yes.
Robbie running towards like the tripod with the army people. Like, I remember that scene, but I remember him jumping onto a tank and then they're like, yeah, come on. Like, that was my memory. That's why when he just ran and it blew up, and I was like, oh, I don't remember that. And then when he was just showed up at home, I was like, oh, how did you get there?
I had no recollection that there was even a son.
Oh, really? No, I remember there being a son in Dakota Fanning because like I remember that one scene where him running off with the tank. That
Yeah,
didn't
no, I
happen.
did not remember that at all because I had no recollection. And is that the guy who plays Jesse Pinkman
From
in
Breaking
Breaking
Bad?
Bad?
Oh,
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's look it up.
Because I noticed they didn't have him freaking listed on the credits. Wait, it says Justin Chatwin. Who is that? He looked so familiar and I couldn't place him. Oh, he was in Shameless.
I didn't really watch that one that much.
And oh, he was in the Dragon Ball Evolution movie that everyone hated. Oh, he was in
He was in
Weeds.
Weeds.
Yeah. But yeah, that was why he looked familiar. Anyway, okay. Yeah, I had no recollection that the boy even was there. I really thought it was just him and Dakota Fanning.
That's so funny.
It has been that long. Because how long has it been since you've seen this one?
It's been, I guess it's been probably like 5 years now then.
Oh, okay. Mine, it's probably been like well over a decade. Like, I'm not even sure I've ever watched it with Andrew before. So it could be more than 16 years, even.
Really?
Yeah, because I remember watching it when it came out in around 2005, because like I said, I was done with high school by then and I was like going into like my first like full-time semester of college. And I do remember like renting it or something whenever it became on video.
Right.
And I kind of remembered being like, eh, about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I remember being a little whatever about it. Oh, and I'm sorry. I probably didn't rent it. I definitely got the bootleg of it too. Because when I, during that era of my life, there was a guy and there was this place in the town. It was called the Cherry Lot. And you would go on down to the Cherry Lot, and that was where this guy sold bootleg videos. And I had got War of the Worlds and Gothica, I think.
Oh man, I remember not liking that movie.
But yeah, so I had very little recollections. I even was getting the ending of this one mixed up with Signs,
Oh, that's funny.
like as I was watching it,
You
because
thought
I
it
was
was gonna
like,
be
when
water that
is,
took him out?
yes.
What's crazy is I
And
don't remember them like sucking their blood out at all. I totally forgot about that part.
oh, that's so funny. Because that was the one thing I remembered was all the red stuff. Like, I did remember that. And that's why I thought it was going to be water and it like disintegrated it or something, I think was what I thought was going to happen.
It reminded me of, what was that movie that Jordan Peele did with the it was like a stingray in the sky.
Oh, I don't think I saw that one yet.
Oh well, I probably just ruined
Yeah, I
it
think you did.
for you.
All right, so apparently we didn't have super accurate memories and of this film. So let's just get into our notes. It's narrated by Morgan Freeman in the very beginning and in the very end, and that's all you get of the narration.
Which is weird. I don't like, I'm like, either do narration or don't.
The nature of the story, it being War of the Worlds specifically, and then the knowledge of like what H.G. Wells did, with the radio show. Like I was like, okay, I feel like it kind of works, a little bit if you're trying to reference, that somewhat. But it does seem, I'm gonna go ahead and start out and say it. Overall, this movie to me was super sloppy.
As sloppy is a good word for it.
Yeah, it like after reading that, like, oh, they wanted to have this like found footage, and this kind of like ultra contrast and all this. I hated it as a creative choice. I personally could not stand the lighting of this film.
Oh,
It
okay.
was, it, I don't know, it enraged me and made me uncomfortable a lot of the times because when you oversaturate the light like that with like the exposure, and it was like just bright, blinding light is behind all of the characters. That's what it feels like when I start getting a migraine. So, like, because, like, in a real life setting, if I'm like in my office or something at work and I start getting like early migraine, like aura symptoms and this different kind of stuff, it'll be where the lights start like brightening out and like looking out a window, you don't really look out the window. It just feels like white light is coming out the window sometimes. And like you'll get like that aura kind of brightness that are like around people when they're standing in front of lights and stuff. So I fucking hated it. Like it was like,
I didn't even notice it.
yeah, no, it was awful to me. So for me, it was like, oh, let's sit here for 2 hours and make it seem like you're gonna about to get a migraine.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, so I like it felt like I said it. So it felt sloppy. And then at first, I thought, like maybe in the beginning, I was like, oh, maybe it's more of a creative choice of like, as we get more along with the aliens, maybe it'll get darker and darker. And while it did kind of, the white light, anything that was light was so fucking bright and like just, ugh, yeah, that saturation and I hated it so much.
So funny, I didn't even notice.
Can't believe you didn't know, like it's bonkers to me that you didn't notice.
Nothing that bothered me.
So annoying.
Because to me, it was almost like, I guess because the darks were so dark, especially in like the nighttime outside scenes, that I didn't notice the bright brights.
No, that's funny. Yeah, I know. Like when there is light, even as it gets
It's my
darker, the
TV
light
too,
is still.
though.
Maybe, yeah.
I have a way smaller TV than you do.
Oh, yeah. But maybe mine was too bright. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like our coloring's pretty good on it. So yeah, for me, I hated the way it looked overall like that. But we get Tom Cruise, you get an intro to him being a like he's a container crane operator, I guess.
What did it say
So
on the dock worker? He's a dock
or
worker.
dock worker, yes. He's like, Johnny used to work on the docks. I mean, he even drives a car that like I feel like John Mellencamp. Bon Jovi, or John Bon Jovi. There we go. I said what John Mellencamp. I meant the other John, Bon Jovi. We figure out very early on that he has an ex-wife who is remarried, and he gets like they share custody of the kids.
And who is that? Who is his ex-wife? She looks so familiar to me.
Oh yeah, we see her in like everything now.
Miranda Otto. She's Australian. Oh, she was in Sabrina. Oh, she was in Lord of the Rings. That's right.
Oh, she's Eowyn.
Yes, Eowyn.
There you go. That's why I'm like, we just saw her.
It's like, that face is so familiar.
Doesn't she kind of look like that lady too that we know that makes the bracelets?
She does. She's got the same face shape. Yeah. Yeah, she does
too.
Like, girl, you look like Eowyn from Lord of the Rings.
I know. Like, I always thought you looked familiar, and I couldn't pinpoint it until I finally watched Lord of the Rings. I was like, oh my god, you remind me of fucking Eowyn. That's exactly what it is.
That's amazing. Noise.
So it's established early on that he's basically kind of a dick and not a very good dad, very resentful, it seems, of his dock worker lifestyle compared to the man that his ex-wife married.
Yeah.
But even the children are just kind of shitty too, in my opinion.
I agree.
Like straight from the get-go. I was like, I get it. You know, they're all like, he's kind of shitty to them, so why are they going to be nice to him? I don't like begrudge the children being shitty. Like,
yeah, especially when he throws that ball so hard at his son and he's like, that's like half of my strength or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is it gonna be a pissing contest with your fucking like 16-year-old son?
Yeah. I mean, who came in with attitude? And then even though the daughter, like the way she was like kind of like ultra demanding sometimes, or like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he gives us this and he gives us that. And it's like, I can't speak for any kind of co-parenting situation, but if one parent is obviously not as well off as the other, like that shouldn't matter, you know, ultimately. But it is, like, I get it, you know, right. Kid's going to have their own room and oh no, he has to share a room and they're like in little kid beds.
Right.
So I could get why they wouldn't be comfortable and don't want to hang out with their kind of asshole dad. So
there's no food to eat there. There's
But although I'm like, I mean, if he doesn't have them all the time, I wouldn't be keeping my fridge stocked either. I'd wait till they got there and be like, okay, I'm gonna run down to the store. I mean, you live in the fucking city.
That's
like, it's
true.
2 second walk.
Especially he's so like, that's why, you can order, like he lets them order food.
Yeah, exactly. So
I just liked when he was like, you're an asshole and I hate coming here, because that reminds me is like totally my vibe as a kid. Like, I was mixed between him and the little girl. The screaming. Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, that's true. So we get like what you starts out as like a weather event. It looks like maybe a tornado kind of or something, but they already know it's kind of weird because the way the wind's blowing. And then all of the light, what they think is lightning, but you can tell it's like EMPs basically, because they lose all electricity. Nothing's working. And then this is where things start, the inconsistencies, like the continuity in this film, whoever was in charge of it, I don't think they did a very good job. Because when he's like going to go check stuff out and he makes the kids go inside, I did like it when he like slaps his hand when he's like telling Robbie to get inside. He's like, get inside, because like he's not listening.
Yeah.
To him. I felt like that was a very like
real.
Like, yeah. Real kind of.
I don't care what anybody says. I love Tom Cruise as an actor.
I know you do. I'm like, he's so hit or miss for me. His character is such a dick in this, but I think he does a good job of playing a dick,
yes.
You know, like, I think he does convey, because ultimately I do think the character of Ray is, you know, he's supposed to be kind of just this piece of shit guy and dad. And until he's thrusted into this situation, does he realize kind of the extent of what his responsibility actually is as a parent, you know? But even then, yeah, just the hand scene, though, it's like, okay, that's funny. But that's funny. So he goes out into the crowds. He's going further down the blocks, basically, where I guess it's more of like the city center or whatever. or like, I don't know, the shopping, the commercial area where like more people are. And it's not just like houses,
not the row houses or whatever.
Yeah, the row houses. Yeah. Because the lightning struck so many times, like in that same spot or whatever. And I'm like, okay, one, everyone's just standing around this hole. Like, I would even be like, okay, we might get like a sinkhole or something.
Exactly.
Even if it wasn't aliens, you know. I just feel like this establishes from the very start of just how like how stupid everyone is. And
I mean, that's how people would really be, though.
I guess so. I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either, but
if anything major like that happens, I'm going to be like, okay, we're going to mind our business and we're going in the opposite ways that everyone else is.
Oh yeah. Like, that's me too. But we're also not like regular people.
I guess so. Yeah. Cause I don't need to know specifics. I just need to know to get the fuck out.
Exactly. Like that sounds suspicious. I'm either hunkering down at home and like drawing the shades, like,
yeah, that's curing
what I'm things.
Like, yeah.
Or I'm getting the fuck out.
What is the expression? Like circle the wagons, you know, yeah, like
right.
To begin with, you gotta like, I get, you need to kind of gauge the situation, but him just waltzing right in all of those people right around the spot.
The casual jogging. Like, I love, I'm like, do people travel like that? People casually jog at your age? He's like 40.
I mean, he's Tom Cruise. He's in great shape. I know. All the
I
time.
Just thought that was funny. I was like, I was like, oh, I'm gonna go over there real quick. I don't think I would jog. I would walk quickly, but I would not.
I think
jog.
City dwellers are different because they're true. Always walking. Their that's cardio true. Levels are much better than us folks who have to commute all the time.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
It is true. But yeah, so during this whole time, though, so he's around all these fucking people, which is just insane to me. And there's like, basically like an earthquake or something that they think is happening. And a whole freaking alien ship rises from the earth, which was a cool scene.
Yeah. The effects were awesome in this.
Yeah, it was cool in that part. I'll give it that. But then immediately, okay, so right before that, basically we've established the audience can figure out, oh, it was an EMP because nothing's working. It shows his watch not working. Like they established that everything's just like zip and done. zipped and done. Other than the fact that he happens to talk to this like mechanic guy, he knows saying change out this. But this is where I'm like, okay, if it was an EMP, even if something wasn't in use, it would still also deplete that battery or whatever, correct? And then also when they're all then running in the street,
like, just change battery.
Yeah, it shows a guy with a video camera, and then it shows it like drop the video camera, and then you can see stuff through the screen of the video camera.
Right.
The video camera couldn't be working at that moment.
If your watch can't work.
Yeah, the video camera that can't either. And I understand it didn't go off everywhere. They do kind of imply that when, you know, they start like traveling more, but this is all the same area. So I don't know. It immediately took me out of the movie because I'm like, you literally spent all this time, like the last 5 minutes, establishing that nothing is working. Have people yelling in the streets, nothing's working.
Yeah. But this and one then, car.
And then 2 minutes later, you negate all of that with the video camera scene.
Yeah.
And then be like, oh, you're right. That one part worked. Wouldn't that part still not work? It doesn't matter if it was in the car or not. All the other cars aren't working just because it was in the guy's shop.
Yeah.
What, that was magically protected.
That tin roof.
But even though everything else in his shop doesn't work, like, I don't
that and like, he's a dock worker, he's not a mechanic. Why would he know more than the mechanic know?
Well, they established that he does know stuff like that because when you come in, he has the engines on his car because he has this little fancy sports car that he drives.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they show that.
I don't know how I missed that part.
Oh, yeah. Because he's like, oh, I'm working on it, blah, 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 when he is bringing the mom and the kids in.
Oh, okay.
So it does get to the point, though, after seeing this shit, and he's getting his kids together, knows that they got to get out. And they go, and he basically is going to steal that car because he knows it's going to be, like, the only working one.
Mm-hmm.
And when she is in that back seat and she starts crying, and like the look on her face, like she She genuinely looked like terrified. Like I felt bad for her as a child actress in that moment. Cause I was like, how terrified was she actually terrified? Like to get this scene. Cause she looked like it was probably, in my opinion, one of the best scenes of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Like for her acting alone in it, I was like, oh my gosh, like it made me so upset for her. She looks so sad and like genuinely like traumatized and terrified.
She did in a lot of scenes throughout this movie.
She did, but that one I think she did the best, I guess. Like, and because it's in the beginning of it and she doesn't really know what's happening yet. You know, like they don't really know. The children don't really know quite yet. And he's telling Manny to get in the car and that guy won't shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm. He's like, close the door.
Yep. Just close it. Like, there's no talking sense to you right
now.
And then
I love, like, the effects where they just zap the people out of their clothes.
Yes.
I thought that was cool. And then he was covered in all that people dust.
Yes. Where he was like, getting it off of him.
What's all this?
And then them even, again, the children are trying to ask, like, is this, terrorist, what's going on? And I just love what he yells at him. And he's like, no, Robbie, not like Europe.
I know. Came from somewhere else. that was a good scene. I even wrote that down in my notes.
So ultimately, his plan is to get to Boston where the mother and the stepdad are supposed to be. So
he's like, they will know what to do.
And even he gets called out for it. But I hate that they have Robbie just with this like hero complex.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
It seems weird and out of place. Like, I get that, like, they have
when he has his sister that he's so close to and helps her with her anxiety and shit.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I know they have an estranged father-son relationship. But his sister doesn't negate, you know, like him. That's where it just seems so. But I guess maybe some probably 16-year-old boys are like that, maybe, you know, to where they're like, something's happening of that kind of magnitude.
I want to help.
I got to do something, you know, like that kind of thing. But just so we can go around, it's not that kind of movie. People get it. They're running from aliens. That's most of the film. And the part, though, when they get to where they're near more of the pods and the military jeeps are going and Robbie is like running in the field towards it. And then Tom Cruise has Dakota Fanning like, wait by this tree, you know, mm-hmm. I gotta grab your dumbass brother and grabs him. And then, you know, he's like, I gotta do this. I gotta see it or let me do it, dad. Okay. And he fucking lets him.
I would have
like,
just cold cocked him. I would have knocked him out.
And dragged his ass off. We've established this dad is in like peak physical condition, basically. So fucking cold cock your kid, knock him the fuck out.
Hike him over your shoulder like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah. Help you like drag his body if you need to, like in the other direction. Like there would be absolutely no way. I'd be like, okay, like I gotta let you go because he had to go get Dakota Fanning in that moment. Absolutely. And out of the two, you're going to save the daughter, not this piece of shit fucking teenager
that wants to go kill himself.
The most dumb of the dumb. I know. Cause I'm like, the military don't want you right now.
You're
like,
not even trained.
It's just happening. Exactly. Yeah. Like you don't even know how to fire a weapon. Like you are useless. Like
you're gonna go thump a tripod with your bare hand.
Like this isn't Red Dawn. Totally different situation in moment in time.
You are not even a country boy.
You're living in some rich ass little place and then you're like too good for your dad's row house. So I don't know how you're gonna fight in the thick of it. I hated his character.
Yeah. I mean, he was endearing with like the parts he had with his
sister. With the child. Yeah. With the sister. Like, and I wish they would have not made him run off. I don't know. I thought it was just dumb to remove him from the situation.
And then him just show up at the parents' house.
Exactly. He should have been dead.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous they kept him alive. Like, someone, at least one person of this family should have died.
Especially
during
since
this ordeal.
The grandmother, like, the grandparents are alive, the mother's alive, everybody, like, nothing even happened at this part of in Boston. Really.
Exactly. Which is crazy to me, too, because I'm like,
because where was he at? Where did he live?
Along the Hudson, we know it's along the Hudson River somewhat because they made it to the Hudson River and we're trying to get on that ferry. So I think New York, maybe.
Okay.
Or New York State, you know, I don't think it was necessarily City. New York City or anything. Yeah, I think it was like the mainland.
Okay,
whatever.
Well, that's not like you think they would hit the main cities, which would be Boston and New York City, not upstate.
I guess
New York,
so. It would
whatever.
Depend on wherever the tripods had been buried, and they had been buried before these cities existed. So, I mean, that makes somewhat sense. And I mean, when they walked into Boston, there were some of those tripods still there and, you know, it destroyed parts of the city, but still just that, like, it wasn't in their area at all. Like, yeah, like the kid made it. Like,
it
had too much of a happy ending,
I agree.
Considering, like, for this particular, you know, family, because no one else got a happy ending. So right. Everyone else fucking die.
And the whole Tim Robbins scene was cuckoo to me.
It was pretty weird. I mean, of course, in a situation like that, I mean, you would probably stumble upon the guy who has some kind of bunker or basement. But again, maybe it's because it's Spielberg and he has his little weird war obsession stuff, you know,
yeah.
Like we know he does. Because this is the second character that's like, we got to fight him. We got to fight back. Like,
right.
And it's like, these men with this obsession with fighting back, like, I get it. Like, yes, you do have to fight back. But again, they're in these giant mechanical tripod things and you're a dude with like an AR-15.
What are you going to do?
No one was practical about it. Like, and at the time, the military does still exist.
Yeah, they're still trying.
yeah. Like, it ain't over yet.
Exactly. Let the people train. Go before you. You're the last resort.
Or even at least, like, even when Tom Cruise gets the grenades and then obviously they can't detect weapons, like, on the people that they are picking up. So that right of way also should have been like, oh, well, let's just make sure we, you know, grab a bunch of grenades and then get picked up and then throw it in the little butthole.
When it came out, I was like, ew, ew.
But yeah, the Tim Robbins stuff was just kind of fit in weird. Considering how much of the first half of the movie is so go, 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 go. And then you just have these weird scenes with Tim Robbins. And then he ends up murdering him.
Yes,
like, they do
does.
Imply that. Like, yeah, where they're like, he's like, okay, I got to take care of business because this guy is about to get me and my kid killed.
Yeah. And I agree. I would do the same thing if I had to.
Yeah. And then Andrew and I watch this together. And then he says the scene he hated the most was when they are down in the basement. And the little, like, eyeball worm thing comes, and looks down there. He was
the Terminator.
Like, the scene. He was like, why are they, he was like, they're doing, like, mass destruction right now. He was like, why would they be, like, looking into basements and, like, random
That's
stuff,
exactly
like, right away.
What me and Dave were talking about, because I was like, why do they give a shit about this one random farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah. Well, and also I think it's implied they were maybe looking for a water source, because it shows them drinking from the, like, pipe that was busted or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So that's why, yeah, because Andrew and I were watching it. Because, yeah, we were both like, why would it look at here randomly? Like, that's silly. And then we see the aliens actually coming down. Because I forgot the actual aliens
came
down
that too.
In the basement. So I did forget that part. And that's when we saw them drinking. He was like, oh, maybe that's exactly why they were looking for, yeah, like a water source.
Oh, and I guess that's to explain how they got the bacteria probably too.
Yeah, because they were starting to, and again, and all that red stuff was supposed to be taking nutrients, but of course they don't explain it that way. So maybe that was another way they're trying to imply that, oh, they just can't, their bodies can't deal with our environment, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should have planned for that since you've been planning it millions of years.
I know exactly where you're like, but I guess also it could be maybe assumed that they had just launched like ships that were encrusted into the earth, like, because yeah, that is like, how did they get these giant spaceships under there if they didn't physically come here already? And then they would have known they would have died, Or did they somehow bury these ships remotely? But they're so large. How would they have done that? You know, like the ships themselves, like how would you have remotely been able to do that? I guess, though, if you're that advanced of aliens, you would have just like send a ship that has like a drill, you know,
like
and then
a drone.
Drone drill thing and then dig the hole and then plant your spaceship.
So why would they turn into a drill?
Why wouldn't they just take over then?
When there was nobody here.
Or because it would take, maybe because it would take that long for them to travel here.
Oh, that would make millions of years, maybe.
Yeah, because again, you get some narration, but even the narration doesn't give you that much.
No, it gives you nothing. And then the end gives you literally 3 seconds and then they die to bacteria. Goodbye.
Everyone lives. And yeah, the children screaming every time it happened. I also had to listen to Andrew going, ugh, little girl screaming is the worst every time she was screaming. And so then it wasn't just her screaming, but also commentary about her screaming.
You're like, I'm going to start screaming.
Yeah, I told him that, though. I was like, every time she does, you have to say it too. It was like, yeah, write that in your notes.
I thought
it was funny. Yeah, little girl screaming.
Yeah, because it's like
nails on a chalkboard.
It's ear piercing.
It is. She has a very ear piercing scream. But yeah, as we mentioned, everyone makes it. Aliens die. The end. I just wrote that was kind of a lame ending. I don't disagree with Spielberg. Something more could have happened.
I wrote a little convenient. Everyone alive.
Yes. Yes, everyone was just conveniently super alive. Yeah. Nothing bad happens to that entire family.
And then Tom Cruise just standing there like, well, now what am I supposed to do? This ain't my family anymore, really.
I mean, hell, if my dad was the one who got me through that. Mm-hmm. And then, because at first at the end too, when the mom opens the door and I'm like, your ass has just been sitting there waiting. You didn't go look for your fucking kids at all. And then I was like, oh yeah, she's pregnant.
Oh yeah, what can she do, really?
Yeah, because it's like, oh, she's like, and she's supposed to be like far along because you know they like show her with like an obvious like pregnant belly. So I was like, oh yeah, okay, I forgot about that part. But either way though, I still think, yeah, for them to be like, oh, he's such a fuck up, like, well, you trusted, like you assumed he was gonna somehow be able to survive
and keep your
this situation
alive.
With
yeah.
your children, like you didn't even leave,
right?
I don't know. Or at least her husband didn't leave. Like, if anything, I'd been like, you have to go get my other children. Like,
exactly. You're going to take over the team, buddy.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's, like I said, especially if you think your ex-husband is that incompetent.
Well, I think she knew he was that. I think she thought he was like honorable, maybe. Like, he would do the right thing if need be. Just
well,
not
true. Yeah.
Willingly.
She knew. Yeah, like he would step up for his children, I guess. Yeah. But then you knew your son showed up.
Yeah,
like, so you
exactly.
already know that he let your son run off.
And then I'd be like, oh my God, they're that close. Husband, go collect my child and go help my ex-husband. Like,
As soon as her son
got there, I would have sent the husband out to go look for Tom Cruise and my daughter.
Well, and then how the hell did he get there before them?
Exactly.
Like, none
you
of
got blown
yeah,
up
like,
as far as anybody knew.
I don't, none of it. It kind of just doesn't make sense.
No, the ending did not make sense. But I will say this, I was only going to watch like an hour the first night and then like finish it off the second night.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so involved in it that I just watched it all on the same night.
There you go.
So I did enjoy watching it.
During the action sequences and everything, it was enjoyable. But overall, I have to say I was pretty disappointed because I was like looking forward to this one. And then I was like, oh man, like so the lighting for me was like a huge chunk of that, and then yeah. just yeah some of the where I'm just like I would have punched that kid out, I would have punched that kid, I would have silenced all of these children and got down to business, like
right. Exactly.
Watching as an adult, I guess, because again I had just left high school, so I was like 18, like I think to probably 20 the last ages that I watched this film, and just watching it now I'm like absolutely not. So I take it you will watch this one again?
Yeah, it'll probably be a little bit, but I'd watch it again for sure.
I probably won't.
You know, I love action alien movies.
Yeah, that's true. And I usually can get on board with them, but this one kind of annoyed me enough to where I'm like, eh, I probably won't watch you again for another like 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years.
Yeah, maybe 20 years.
Say like another 5 to 10. I'll forget enough about it by then.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew said he really liked this one. Now, rewatching it, I don't know if he feels that same way over some of the, like, so he really did not like the kids screaming.
Yeah. I know, it's funny, the things that don't bother you when you're younger.
Yeah, and then just get under your skin later where you're like, ugh, that was kind of annoying. I don't know if I want to have to go through that again.
Right.
Well, that was War of the Worlds, everybody. I guess a little hit or miss on that one. It did have some good scenes. Again, action sequences. Was a little darker, I would say, for a Spielberg film. That isn't like Saving Private Ryan. You know, a lot of the times his alien or adventure films, while still more adult nature sometimes, usually have, I guess, a slight lightheartedness, even if it is like Indiana Jones or, you know, something where it's kind of graphic or scary or violent, but
ripping the heart out.
It makes light of it sometimes too. And this one definitely wasn't like that. And remember, next episode will be Signs, definitely a lot less action oriented one. So that'll be a fun one to watch. And as always, you can find us at Film Gazers on the social medias, and Jess, tell them where they can buy us a popcorn.
Yes, the link is on our link tree, which is on our Instagram. And also, if you just go to the RSS/filmgazers to our main host, then you can click on the buy us a popcorn button there. Or like I said, you can go to our link tree, which is linktree.com/filmgazers. And then that has all of our links on there to buy merch or where to listen.
Yes. And be able to connect with us through there. And Jess informed me as well that we will be coming up on our 100th episode.
Yes. Milestone.
Big milestone. I can't believe we've made it this far.
I know. Like consistently through some hella life changes. Yeah,
I would say so. And I'm pretty proud of us for it.
I am too, because especially with our diagnosis.
that you all should be astounded by this level of commitment.
Yep. I don't commit to a whole lot.
Next week, Jess and I are going to get together in person to really kind of discuss some kind of fun plan, maybe a giveaway. So yeah, we're going to have to get a think tank going for that. And we'll actually make a few more announcements and everything once that's figured out. So if you want to stay in the loop, again, find us on that link tree, check us out on the social medias, follow us there. We really appreciate all your listens. As you know, we're also doing ads just in the beginning and end of the episode, but it really will help us out if you stick with it. And we have got a very small payout of a whopping 50 cents.
54.
54. But again, any of it's appreciated. We can start putting this towards the monthly, you know, RSS feed that we have to do. We haven't got any like brand new equipment since we started. Like this is, we're running with everything we've been running with for like 4 years. So it is time where if we can get contributions at this point, we will take them, and we're trying to work for them a little bit now.
Yeah.
What can also be very helpful, though, is reviews. That's what I did want to shout out a little more this year at the end of episodes. If you just leave us an Apple, you know, like review, if you're listening to us on like Apple Podcasts, pretty much anywhere where we'll take a review, we will take it, please. Just any kind of feedback like that, we would really appreciate this year. So again, thanks to our listeners, we're wishing you a really happy 2026. We hope you keep listening. And it's time to hit the dusty trail.
Until next time.
Later, taters.
Rah, 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 rah.
Tragic romance.